Good morning. We continue with our study of the world of truth, the world of friendship of Rav Volbi. Rav Volbi is now going to turn to a new topic, a topic that I think we deal with all the time, and it has to do with the role of secular knowledge in society. But Rav Volbi is going to deal with it from a different perspective than some of the perspectives we've been talking about in the past. He begins, of course, by pointing out the difference between the way we live and the way that the nations of the world live. He cites the pasuk Ishal Tiglobo Osos Lebeis Avosami Neged La'Oal Moed Yachnu Bnei Yisrael. It's a sort of a mundane pasuk. It says that each nation camped, each tribe camped with its flag around Oal Moed. So Rav Volbi turns around and he says, you know, it's really a fascinating thing. When Am Yisrael camped in the Midbar, they camped around Oal Moed, around the Mishkan. What was the message to be contained therein? And he points out that what happened and what set up the nation, the way that Am Yisrael functioned, was the understanding that the heart of the nation was the Oal Moed. And that it, just like in a human being, the heart is at the center of the body, so to speak. He says the same thing is true for Bnei Yisrael. The heart is the place of emotions. It's a place of being awake. And so therefore, we understood that what has to be at our center has to be that central location that ties us all together. Says Rav Volbi, that's one of the great challenges in the world of in the world at large. Because if that's the case, then we should be at the center of the rest of the world as well. Certainly, I'm learning Masechta Megillah with my son right now, and we recently came across that idea in the Megillah itself, where the Gemara says that Ad Chatzia Malchus V'Seas, when it came to the halfway point of the Malchus, Ahasuerus promised Esther, whom he did not know was a Jewish lady, that he would give her everything up to half the kingdom. Half the kingdom, says the Gemara, was what? Half the kingdom was the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The midpoint of the world is the Beis HaMikdash. And even to a lady who was secular in the mindset of Ahasuerus, even to her, the rebuilding of the Mikdash was something that he would not allow for his wife, whomever she were to be. And so there is a certain understanding that chachma, that wisdom, the wisdom that keeps the world going, the technological advancements, the incredible experiences, the advancements in sciences and medicines and emotions and even in the arts and the philosophy, whatever it is that we are advancing in, all of that translates back and finds its center in Torah. So if that's the case, if it's supposed to be able to find itself in the Torah, where does it break off? And how could it be that all Chachma is supposed to be found inside Torah? Are we supposed to look at these two things as one and of the same? Are we to see them as separate? This has been a very major debate in modern times. The late great Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb wrote a major work about this called Torah Umada, the understanding that exists there within. How are we supposed to put things together? So let's start by looking, says Rav Volbi, at the Rishonim. The Ramban wrote a drasha called Torah Hashem Temima. And in Torah Hashem Temima, the Ramban makes this statement, and it's a fascinating statement. Everybody knows that anything that was created is created as an extension of Torah, or an extension of an extension. Says the Ramban, if there is no such recognition and revelation, Ein bein chamor adam lechamor shorochei v'alav klum. There's no difference between a man and a donkey. And Ramban continues. He says, "Look, all the secrets of the world, the secrets of nature, the secrets of health, the secrets of refuah, the secrets of creation. It's all inside the Torah. We just have to understand it and know it." However, what the big chiddush says, Rav Volbi, is the great nuance that is that there is no other knowledge. There's no knowledge separate from Torah, contrary to what modern university thinking might give us. That's not real knowledge. And the same thing was stated by the Kuzari, by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. He says he can't blame or find them guilty. The Greek philosophers, don't blame them for their mistakes inside of their philosophies. Right? Because you have to understand, the Greek philosophers don't have a tradition of Chachma. They don't have a tradition of Torah. And why is that? Because they come from Yefes. And they come from Yefes, who's Yaftalo Kim Yefes only when he's in the tents of shame. Otherwise, if Yefes and the Greek philosophy that develops itself, it's really just an extension of being victorious. That's not a philosophy. That's a question of might makes right. And he says, this is the Kuzari speaking, we don't find the growth of the Greek philosophy until we found that the nation of the world that was in charge before them, the Kasdim, until they were defeated. At that point in time, then Greek philosophy grew. And we also don't find the Greek philosophers being accepted or having dominance once Rome defeated Greece. And so therefore it sounds like, what is philosophy? Might makes right. And that is such a wide difference from Chachma Shlomo, where Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom, which he spread and shared to all the nations of the world, including the far-off Far East and nations as well. He says even that, it served as the source for all of that knowledge and all the pieces that came within, and even that continues to live until today. By the way, one needs to understand that there is a work from one of the Chachmei Sfarad called Derech Emunah. And he says, I found one of the Greek philosophers, whom he believes is probably Aristotle, who we seem to find that in the Abarbanel's commentary to the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He says, the Greek philosopher, he says, went into debate with one of the rabbis, and he said about nature and the philosophy of nature, etc. And afterwards they entered a question of religion and the knowledge of religion. And he said, Aristotle claims that he was so overtaken by this conversation that he couldn't even understand what Shimon HaTzadok was talking about. He was so far ahead of him. He had to daven so that he should at least be able to understand him. And Shimon HaTzadok was able to put things back inside. So the author of the Derech HaEmunah goes on and says, we find the same thing in the Christian philosophy works. There was a Greek Christian scholar whose name was Isbias. And Isbias brought a tremendous amount of knowledge out from the Jewish people. And he notes that this all comes from the truth that is the Jewish truth. And he tells a story, Alircus came along to his students and he sat down with them and he said, look, are you going to be excited to know the source of all of our philosophy and all of our science? So they said, the student said, 100%, he says, I want you to know most of philosophy today comes from Aristotle, and Aristotle's philosophy came from a certain individual who came from the Jewish nation, a Yerushalmi, who came from Shevet Binyamin. And that means that everything that we know, all of our philosophy, eventually goes back to the Jewish nation. A similar comment is made by Josephus in Counter Appian in the second volume, again, recognizing that the source of knowledge comes from Jews. Says Rav Obi, so take a look at the anti-Semites of today. Modern anti-Semites can't handle the idea of the medieval philosophers. The medieval philosophers, in their own writings, in the Christian writings, in the Greek writings, recognize the superiority of knowledge that comes from Torah-based. What we find instead is that the German professors in 1930s turned around and said, no, the Jews stole the philosophy. Why did the Jews have to steal the philosophy? Because you can't make sense with the fact that it came from the Jewish people. And that is a dangerous thing for the Goyim to admit. That if all philosophy comes from the Jews, then all philosophy is godlike, which means we have to go ahead and we have to support and we have to recognize a God. That is a dangerous thing for somebody who does not want to believe in a God and does not want to believe in the Jewish people. Our job instead is to turn around and continue to be that source of light, to continue to be the source of knowledge, and never to give up on the fact that we ourselves must not accept an understanding of the fact that our knowledge is stolen from the nations of the world. Chachma Bagoyim is Chachma Satara. And we have to go ahead and find that Chachma Satara, says Rav Obi, in order to be able to pull it out, not to just simply tap our heads to that which comes from other sources. We will continue with this idea because he's going to go back and enter the world of Christian philosophy, Islam philosophy, and put it back and recognize that how and where and why we make that disconnect. and what we can do, you and me, about it. Have a great day.